Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is May 22nd, 2018, and you can find this podcast on Buzzsprout, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and now Stitcher. And you can find me on Twitter at MarcusB814.
You can find me on Twitter at Nick Vern, N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. So in this special off-week episode, we're going to discuss Marvel's Avengers Infinity War. Obviously, spoilers are ahead, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, we highly recommend going to see it before listening to the second half of the podcast.
Spoilers.
Where we'll be talking about Infinity War.
Spoilers.
Also this week, we want to welcome Ariel to the show. Ariel is a huge fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as well as all things nerdy. She's also a bit of a podcast aficionado, and she's going to help us break down the movie, as well as share her opinion on the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Breakdown. Hey, Ari, thanks for coming on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been up to this past week.
Hey, guys. So I'm currently home from college on summer break. I go to school in Boston at MCPHS, and for all of you who don't know, stands for Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. Fancy.
It sounds fancy.
It's a mouthful. Just stick with the acronym.
I'm a big fan of science stuff, art stuff, and of course, nerdy stuff. I know you guys talk a lot about video games, a lot about Star Wars video games. Fortunately, I'm not a huge video game nerd. I dabble in the Mario Kart, a little bit of Skyrim here and there. I'm not to brag, but I'm a level 35 high elf.
Whatever that means.
That's like
Wait,
4 hours.
All right, so yeah, but does an elf have a lightsaber?
No. Oh. They have magic, though. High elves are particularly good at magic.
All right, so they're like the Sith lords of the world.
But I am the Dovahkiin.
What is a Dovahkiin?
Everyone's the Dovahkiin.
Oh, I don't know what that is, so it sounds amazing to me.
You're the Dragonborn. You can speak dragon. Well, all right, anyways, it's not relevant. Ari, tell us more about you.
I watch a lot of TV shows. I'm into Doctor Who, Firefly, R.I.P., Sherlock, Game of Thrones, of course, Marvel, the Netflix shows. I've been watching a lot of Jessica Jones, mm-hmm. Luke Cage. I'm just getting into Legion on Hulu. That's a mind fuck of a show.
Is a really fucked up show.
Yeah, highly recommended to everyone. On YouTube, I kind of watch a lot of educational information videos.
I'm just thinking about, what the hell was that thing called? You are listening to this.
Oh. ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR. Tapping on a book. You're going to fall asleep while I tap on a book. Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That was Ari tapping on her glass.
What is TED Ed?
TED Ed is, it's kind of like a, it's like super nerdy. It's like informational. They have a lot of riddles and stuff.
It's educational TED Talks, basically.
Well, we just had a TED on our show, and he wasn't talking education. He was talking Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, and telling my ass to hurry up and start playing.
Clearly.
Yeah, but I do watch a lot of YouTube, watch a lot of Phil DeFranco, What Culture, TED Ed, like we were talking about. Yep. BuzzFeed Unsolved, I've really gotten into that. New Rockstar, SciShow Space, Seeker, all of those nerdy stuff.
Is it crazy that I have no idea about any of that?
I don't either.
All right.
And then for podcasts, I, of course, listen to this one.
No, you don't. Don't lie.
Don't lie.
No, you don't have to lie at all. You click on it, you listen to it for about 12 seconds, and you shut it off. You hear us say, we're the podcast that gives next podcast.
We're like, oh, I didn't mean to listen to this. Yes, click.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, I listen to it for 2 minutes, so you guys get the view. Okay?
Oh, thanks.
That's all we care about.
But the big podcast that I've been into a lot recently is the Only Stupid Answers podcast. It's by two guys, DJ Woldress and Sam Basher. They are two guys from the old YouTube channel SourceFed. They talk about a ton of nerdy stuff. It's the best damn podcast you can put your moist little ears into. And if any of you guys watch that show, you'll know what I'm talking about.
All right. I don't, so I have no idea what that means.
I have no idea what that means.
I just know it. You use the word moist, and it's kind of a gross word.
Yeah, whatever.
Moist.
So, Nick, what have you been up to? This show's going to shit.
Well, anyways, back to our regularly scheduled programming. In the past week or so, I mentioned on here that I'll be starting to play SWTOR, which is true.
It's about fucking time.
It's exciting for all the obvious reasons. Ted, who was our guest last week and is the host of the State of the Old Republic podcast, gave me a giant shout-out and a little bit of ball-busting in his most recent episode on his podcast, He mentions my Twitter handle, which I said at the beginning is at Nick Vern. And he started up the hashtag, hashtag SOTOR tips for Nick. So, I'm welcoming any and all starting tips. I know some of the folks in Marcus's raid team and guild are waiting with bated breath to see which class I start, I start out with. And Dr. SOTOR has been trying to use my personality type based on a Myers-Briggs test to analyze which class I'm going to pick to start out with, which is obviously really cool.
Now, what is your Myers-Briggs personality set?
It's INTJ.
You know, it's funny. I'm almost the exact opposite as ENFP.
Well, you didn't mention. Ariel is my sister and Marcus's other cousin, FYI. Which makes sense that we're complete and total opposites as far as personality goes. But, yeah, it's really cool that Dr. Sotor is doing that. I'm kind of holding off on actually picking until I see what he says. What he thinks that I'm going to pick.
See, I think that's a bullshit excuse. I think you should just download it, pick a class, and then let him guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have one in my head, and I have the game downloaded. I have a class in my head that I want to do.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell anybody. And yeah, I will start playing, but it's just something exciting that I want to find out as well.
All I'm going to say is I no matter what character, I go light side, because Bishop, light side is the best side.
Like I just said, I did finally download the game, but I haven't begun any of the character creation stuff yet. But beyond that, I'm just really looking forward to breaking down Infinity War. So, Marcus, what's been going on in your life?
We took Ted, last week's guest, to the Gods from the Machine, because when anybody says they haven't beaten that op, I feel obligated to take him with us.
Hmm.
And we took all the... He beat the first two bosses prior to, and then we went through the whole op, killed Isaacs, he got the win. There's a decoration that drops off that boss that it only drops randomly, mm-hmm. and I really want the thing for my house. I just bought a new stronghold, which it's on Tatooine, so when you're standing on the balcony, you got the twin suns in the background.
Oh, that explains the picture you sent me.
Yeah, so either way, it was great to have them, but I didn't get the deco, so maybe not next week, but I want that fucking deco. I've been taking some time to do my Bounty Hunter class story. I'm on Belsavis, killing stuff. That's really slow for me because I don't have a lot of time, I guess I should say, because I'm doing so many ops.
Right.
And I'm so busy. But last night was episode 2 of our Fun Feeling Mondays with the Bad Feeling Guild. And we were on the Imperial side and we had 16 people. And I'm hoping to have 16 people. So we did a 16-man op. We did Karaga's Palace in story mode, but that's still fun. And when you have 16 people that don't play together every week, it's kind of like a shrug your shoulders like, are we going to finish this thing?
Right.
But we all came together and got it done. Big shout out to everybody who came, because if it wasn't for you guys coming, I would have been playing all by myself.
All by myself.
Don't wanna be.
All right, forget.
So, if all that sounds fun, you need to be a level 50. We run Mondays from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time. And if you want to join up, you can message me on Twitter. Or, in-game, you can do a /gjoin, has a bad feeling, to find me. And if you message me on Twitter, I can give you the Discord information, and then you can come chat with us. But there was a patch today. We got 5.9.1. Not much was in it. I'll just do the general highlights. We're getting double rewards. So we're getting double XP, command XP, and much more through 5.22. So today through May 31st, which is what, Monday? So get your alt game on and get everybody to command rank 300. A lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth about the Nar Shaddaa nightlife. I love it because I get to go to a casino and spend a bunch of credits and try to win some sweet mounts, decorations, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's back. I'm excited. Now I can spend some credits. Other than that, we're getting a cool mount for the movie Solo. And they're going to have a bunch of smuggler outfits on sale. So if you want to be like Solo, you can get some on the cheap as long as you're spending some more money.
He looks good.
I'm excited. I'm going Thursday. Usually I go with Nick to all the openings, and he's going away this weekend. No, it's pretty awesome that you're going away. And yeah. I've had a really hard time with it because I kind of don't want to go without you. I love my wife, but it's not the same.
Right.
Like, I'm going to want to text you and you're going to be in Mount Washington and I'm not even going to be able to talk to anybody about it. So I'm going to try to talk to my wife. She's going to be like, that was stupid. I thought the movie sucked. And I'm going to be like, I thought it was great. So
she liked Infinity War.
That's true, but it's a different animal.
Yeah. Infinity War is a Marvel movie and, like, we
it's
were all super.
Than Star Wars.
Definitely not.
Well, hold on. Let's pause the Infinity War thing for later.
So, for either way. So, we're going this week. But
back to 5.9.1.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to touch on?
Players will no longer be able to complete the Cantina Crawl achievement earlier than intended, whatever that means. But other than that, I think that's it for Star Wars. But I want you to come play SOTOR with me. If you want some information about the AIE Guild, you can go to AIE-guild.org, or you can do a / C join AIE LFO. That's their looking for officer channel in-game. Or if you message me on Twitter, again, it's at MarcusB814. I can give you the Discord information, and we can get you invited into this wonderful guild. I gotta pee.
Let's take a break.
We'll be right back. And we're back. So here's your last chance to hit that pause button.
Spoilers!
As I was saying. last chance to hit that pause button before we start in on the spoilers.
Spoilers!
Wah, 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 wah!
So, in the past, when we at Working Class Nerds have done movie breakdown episodes, we've sort of gone through the plot of the movie and just commented on what we did or didn't like. And we've revisited some of those episodes and didn't really like the format so much. So, this episode, we're going to structure our discussion a bit differently. Since you really should have seen the movie before listening to this, we're just going to offer our analysis and opinions on in no particular order as far as the movie's chronological, you know, scene order, and as well as speculate as to where the Marvel Cinematic Universe can go from here. That being said, let's begin our initial impressions. Begin with our initial impressions on the movie. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed the overall darker tone throughout the whole movie. You know, before they even got to the, you know, famous tragic ending. I love the story arcs of the characters and how thoroughly they developed the threat that is Thanos. That's a big criticism of mine from previous movies, like, you know, from DC and stuff like that, that their villains just don't seem that menacing, like Steppenwolf in Justice League. I've said this a bunch of times, that I didn't really like him at all. Whereas Thanos, you know the stakes, you can see how powerful he is. He kicks the shit out of the Hulk right in the first couple scenes.
Oh my god, yeah. That was, opening up to that was like,
oh shit. Yeah. And he didn't even have that many Infinity Stones yet. But anyways, overall, I enjoyed the shit out of, I really enjoyed the movie.
I really liked it.
Thank you, Marcus.
I enjoyed the movie. I don't break this stuff down really well, so I can just say that when I'm sitting next to my wife and she's laughing out loud sitting next to me watching a movie like this, that's how I can tell it's a good movie.
Yeah. I think it's really cool because it's kind of brought together this, like, subculture of nerd that was so exiled for so many years. Kids got the shit beat out of them for liking comics. Marcus would know every day at school.
he was raising his hand, but you can see.
And now, just everyday normal people who have no insight to the comic book world are watching these movies, really enjoying it and laughing at it. It's awesome. I love the movie. There was a kind of a part in the middle of it where I started to realize how long the movie actually was. Kind of dragged on. There's some spots where I was like, oh, wow, this is like a 3-hour movie.
But
once the action started picking up again, loved it. Loved the character development. I think that's really something that the Justice League is missing, is like the whole background with the characters. You really like feel for them and get attached to them, especially when they die.
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
For me, I think where DC goes wrong is they need to stop with the origin stories. It seems like every movie they come out with, it's an origin story. Everybody knows how Superman came to be. Everybody knows how Batman came to be. You know, I can understand introducing Aquaman, but he was the best character in all of Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, and Wonder Woman had her, so I just felt like that was a good tie-in, but they need to stop with the origins and just get into a movie.
Yeah.
And put some thought into a villain. Like, Heath Ledger as the Joker was the best villain ever.
Yeah, for DC movies.
No.
Definitely. It could be
any,
ever. Great ever. Argument for ever. For sure. Yeah, especially, not to dwell on Justice League too much, but, like, they did a lot of character backstory and origin story when, like, Marvel has multiple movies to do that, and they tried to, like, just shoehorn it in, like, in one group-up movie or for Aquaman and stuff like that, which, right. like, it's just not enough time for you to care about the characters. But anyways, so which moments of foreshadowing or which particular storytelling elements stood out to you guys the most? Aerie, do you want to start?
I think the biggest moment to me that as soon as I clicked, I was like, oh, he's up to something, was Doctor Strange. As soon as he looked back into the, or looked into the future, and he saw that there was only one outcome, I was like, oh man, really, stakes are high. But he knew exactly what to do. And then as soon as he gave the time stone to Tony, it kind of set up as for us to kind of be like, what? What is he doing? He just met Tony Stark. They're supposed to hate each other.
Yeah, because they have similar facial hair. They shouldn't like each other.
Why is he giving up the time stone to save Tony Stark? But then if you think back, he knew what the one outcome was
right.
to make this okay, to make them the Avengers win. Avengers on the upper half. So he probably knew that Tony Stark had to be alive for this to work at all, and that he wasn't the one to be the hero in this
right.
situation.
Right, right.
So I think that really stood out, and that really foreshadowed. It's like, yeah, Doctor Strange.
That's cool.
Represent the doctors up in here.
Yeah, I think, I like Doctor Strange. Marcus, what did you think?
So two parts of it that I really liked was I liked how everything was going to plan, and the whole movie was on this premise that they were going to successfully take the gauntlet off Thanos.
Right.
And then here comes Star-Lord, you know,
he's just
balling a china shop, just is like, hey, fuck you. You fucked with my girl. I'm going to fuck with you. And he fucked the whole plan up. And you guys can say how much you didn't like that part, but that was the part where you're like, oh, shit. Because you're thinking like Doctor Strange. Did he see that? Is that a part of the one thing that won?
Yeah.
You know, did
something
Tony
go wrong?
Yeah. Did Tony Stark get stabbed? And that's in the part where he saw the end. Because at the end he said, this is now we're in Endgame. So clearly everything that happened, what already happened in his.
In his vision. Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
See, for me, I thought this one part was really cool. There's a subtle detail in the ending that really stood out. In the first shot we see of Peter Parker, it's a shot of him on the bus, and the hair in his arm is standing up, which signifies that his spidey senses are tingling.
Spidey sense!
And, you know, the threat that he's detecting is that ship that lands in New York, which has, like, the Children of Thanos, or whatever their names are, on it. And then in the end, Spider-Man is the only person that we see get, you know, dustified, so to speak. You know, they die via Thanos' snap. But he's the only person that knows that it's going to happen before he starts disintegrating. And it's almost like 30 seconds before it starts. And I think that's his spidey senses going off. It's his spidey senses tingling, saying something's not right. And that's why he has so much time to have that heartbreaking dialogue between him and Tony Stark. And I just thought it was an interesting detail that they opened with the spidey senses. And then also, you know, for Peter Parker. And then also closed his arc, again, with the spidey senses. It's just a cool little detail that I didn't notice until sort of I was dwelling on it later. I was like, oh, why did he have so much time? And I was like, oh, he knew ahead of time from his spidey senses. And even within the same movie, you know that that's a factor that he has. That's the first shot you see, is his hair and his arm standing up.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never even thought about it or gave it that much thought. I just saw all the Spider-Man memes afterwards.
Right.
Mr. Stark, I don't want to go.
Right. So, for you guys, which character was your favorite in the movie?
Oh, hands down, Shuri. Oh my god. She was my favorite in Black Panther, and she's such a badass in this movie too. She kind of reminds me of myself as like the cool, like smart little sister that actually gets shit done. But
as opposed to what?
The dumbass older brother who freezes when he sees a pretty girl. Cough, cough, opening a Black Panther spoilers. Ouch. Anyways, my favorite part with her in this movie was when Bruce Banner was explaining how he wired the Mind Stone into the neurons, or each individual neuron in Vision's body, and Shuri was like, why didn't you, like, connect them to a central panel or something to that effect? And Bruce was like, I didn't think of that. And I don't know. I just thought that was so cool because she's supposed to be this young girl and she's in charge of all, like, literally the greatest technology in the world.
Right. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. Such a badass. I love her.
Well, for me, it's Iron Man all the time. Every day.
All day, every day.
We have a crazy connection, me and Tony.
Yeah.
You know, but the part for me is he always organizes and he fucks up everything, so I can relate to it completely. Like, yeah. I'll organize everything and then I just fuck it up.
I have an excellent plan and then screw it up.
The biggest thing is, for me, why Iron Man was so critical is because he said, well, we're not going to wait for Thanos. Let's bring the fucking fight to him.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, wow, that's a great idea. We hate you because you're a fucking asshole, but it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So for me, Iron Man.
For me, as far as my favorite character, I was actually walking out of the theater and thinking, man, I really like Doctor Strange. And I liked him after watching his, you know, his solo movie. Marcus just did the circular hand motion. That was awesome. But I was walking out of the theater thinking, man, I really like Doctor Strange. I think he's my favorite superhero. And it's obviously his powers are really epic. You know, I forgot his title now. But he's got all the magic superpowers, the portals. He's got...
You have a boner for doctors.
I did.
So, all right.
There's that, too. He was a surgeon in, you know, his prior to becoming a superhero.
Everybody likes an educated man.
Thanks, Harry. And, yeah, I just thought he was awesome. In this movie, too. It was pretty cool how you see, like, him and Tony Stark have really similar personalities and giant egos. And, obviously, they clash, you know, in this movie. So, which character death or dustification, so to speak, hurt the most?
For me? Oh, I have the giggles, and we're talking about death. All right. For me, I definitely, the one that kind of, like, hit me the most, which I don't think it hit me until afterwards when I really thought about it, was probably Gamora's. So her entire plotline of this movie was really disheartening and really sad. You know, first you get a glimpse of how she became one of the daughters of Thanos and how half of her planet was wiped out in Thanos' plan and she was forced from her mom. And then facing her sister who was tortured all of her life because of her. And her sister's all robotic parts because every time Gamora acted out as a child, Thanos replaced a part of her sister with a robotic part.
Hmm.
Which is so sad. And then, when going into Thanos to try to find the Soul Stone, she genuinely believed that Thanos didn't care about her, that he couldn't sacrifice anyone because he didn't actually care for anyone, but he cared for her in a weird, I killed half your planet and all of your family, so I'm your father kind of way. And I don't know, it was weird that she genuinely didn't believe that he cared about her, but he did in a...
Right.
Such a sick...
strange way.
Yeah.
I was surprised at that, too. But, like, I was thinking the same way Gamora was. I was like, oh, sweet, she's gonna escape out of this. And then the longer the scene went on, like, as she's kind of monologuing and like, saying, like, ha, you don't care about anybody, fuck you. I was like, oh, shit, because Thanos started to tear up. And I'm like, oh, my God, he actually does care. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he sacrificed
Which I thought was cool, too, because it really made him such a dynamic character.
Yeah.
Because a lot of you see these superhero villains who are so evil, doesn't care about anything.
They're pure evil, and that's it, yeah.
Some men just want to watch the world burn kind of thing. But it was, Thanos really had the emotions in this, which is cool.
I just wanted to punch him in his jaw.
Just like
his ball sack jaw.
Yeah.
Peter Quill.
You say you're like Iron Man.
But you're a little more like Star-Lord. Just guns blazing.
Yeah, but that's Iron Man.
Yeah, but you can, that's true. Yeah, similar.
So, I'm going to say the first part that bothered me the most of the whole movie was when Iron Man got stabbed because I was like, no.
Yeah, that's your guy.
This is not how... what's his name?
Tony Stark.
Yeah, but what's his real name?
Oh, Robert Downey Jr.
How he dies out of the Marvel. Iron Man.
Right.
The Iron Man series. Because right. it's inevitable that he's not going to be Iron Man, right?
Right.
They're going to bring a new guy in eventually because he's getting old, right?
Sure.
So
maybe not a new Iron Man, but they're definitely probably retire Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. A new Iron Man.
Yeah.
No, probably not. They're probably going to retire the character.
No.
I don't know. No way. I think somebody else will suit up. Maybe it'll be...
No, they have to. There's going to be something. Yeah, but there's going to be way too much money to not have an Iron Man.
I don't know. The last Iron Man movie didn't do too well.
Well, it's because it was terrible.
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to make way for these, a lot of new...
I don't know. Well, anyways, moving on.
So, anyway, so... that hurt, but really, truly, as Nick alluded to... Because, you know, he's a young high school kid, and, you know, he's a nerd.
Yeah.
And he felt it beforehand, Spidey sense, whatever. And then Tony Stark's looking at him like, fuck, I did this. I killed this fucking kid. Like, yeah. I did this.
I got him involved.
Yes.
He's like Tony's son surrogate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's that for me, the Spider-Man death, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the... Everyone was heartbroken at that one. For me, I'm going to go a little unconventional here and say Loki's death. It was right at the beginning of the film, and it was just really like a punch in the gut. So by the end of Thor Ragnarok, you can kind of understand Loki's mischievous ways. And, you know, Loki, it's just like a... brings some good character development there. And he seems like he's ready to help the Avengers at the end of Ragnarok. And, you know, he even fights against Hela to save Asgard, which before he was trying to destroy Asgard. So, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing him fight, you know, the good fight for once. You're fighting alongside the Avengers, potentially. So when Thanos just, like, crushes his neck, and you just see him, like, his face turn purple, kind of like Joffrey in Game of Thrones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just, like, an awful way to die. And, the only thing, like, all the other characters, you know, the onlooking Asgardians and even Thor can do is watch. It was just sad, you know? It was particularly shocking because it's right in the beginning of the movie, and it's like, oh my god, like, this character you thought, or at least for me, I thought, was going to be a big part, or like, it or could be a big part, and a cool thing to see in the team-up, would just, like, immediately die so crushingly. Literally.
I remember I turned to you and I was like, wait, so is Loki dead?
Yeah, like dead this? Dead. And I'm like,
oh, like,
shit.
Oh,
he's
wow.
not dead.
Well, nobody well, that died is really but... dead. I'm assuming they'll come back later.
He's not dead.
Yeah,
I think he died in that
he's
instant.
He's playing the long con.
Yeah.
He's dead. He's not dead.
I think he might. Well, I think he died, but I think he'll come back when they revive people.
Oh,
later.
No, he's not dead.
You don't think so?
Nope. I don't think so.
I think he did.
You will see. No, he's not dead.
Okay. All right. Well, anywho. So.
I thought there was a moment with Thor when he was on the ship with Rocket, right?
Yeah.
Raccoon. And he just had a moment of where you kind of see him break down.
Yeah.
And it was, he tried to kind of push that away, but if you really think about it, he just lost his dad. Mm-hmm. He just found out he had a secret sister that was banished to hell that came back.
And he had to kill her.
Had to kill her. Lost his eye because of it.
Right.
And then he just lost his brother.
And his hammer.
And his hammer.
But.
Right.
He gets a new eye.
And a new hammer. A way better hammer, you might argue.
A Groot hammer.
A Groot hammer.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
Oh, that's what I wanted to add for later. But, anywho. So, what parts didn't we like about the movie?
Well, no, Nick. I want you to tell us what you didn't like first.
Well, I didn't like how little the Hulk was in the movie. Frankly, I had to read an analysis after... an analysis of the movie afterwards to... just to know why he wasn't coming out. And people are saying that it was because Thanos kicked his ass right in the beginning, and he was, like, ashamed or, like, embarrassed about it, so he didn't want to come back out after, which is kind of BS. I mean, I get it. Hulk is, like, childish and is not overly intelligent. But, like, you know, I didn't understand that watching the rest of the movie, so that was frustrating. Like, why isn't he coming out at all? And the once I did learn the reason, I still thought it was pretty lame. So all in all, I thought that the Hulk not being involved at all was pretty lame. And I didn't like that about the movie at all.
I thought it was cool, though, to have Bruce Banner actually play...
Be Bruce?
Yeah, play a decent role in it for once.
Yeah.
But I do understand. I wish it was at least a balance of the two.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little stage fright.
Yeah, right.
I guess every man gets stage fright every once in a while.
That happens. But yeah, I think you can, like, involve Bruce more if they shift back and forth more frequently. Like, in Ragnarok, they're kind of like, Hulk doesn't need Banner, so maybe he won't be so insecure about
giving
Banner control and stuff like that. So you could, they could have done it where Banner's more involved and had some more Banner screen time while still having Hulk do the fighting.
It was interesting, too, because there is a scene in the trailer where they're all running out in Wakanda.
Right, and Hulk's in it.
And Hulk's in it, too, and that was just the film for the trailer.
Right.
It was interesting.
There's a bunch of shots in the trailer, too, while we're on the trailer stuff, of Thanos, like, fighting with only, like, 2 Infinity Stones in the gauntlet, when in the real movie, those scenes of him fighting, he has all 6.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is interesting. So they definitely edit a bunch of stuff out of the trailers, yeah, or tweak it for marketing purposes. But, what did you not like, Ari?
Well, to be honest, I know Marcus touched that he liked this part about it, but I really hated Star-Lord in this movie. I thought the juxtaposition of the Guardians and then Sulky McSulkington, Captain America, was such a weird contrast in it. I mean, I loved them. They all came together really great. But it was just so funny to have the serious Captain America, Black Widow, Bucky Barnes, blah, blah, blah. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But really, I hated when Star-Lord punches Thanos when he realizes that he killed Gamora when they're trying to get the glove off of him. Oh my god, that scene took me out of the movie. And like, I understand that he's supposed to be like the goofy captain, and that human emotions trying to get him, you know, worked up. He's gonna do something, but I wish they did something cool with it. Like,
Is fucking cool.
He punched him.
He lost the love of his life to this fucking dude, and he punched him in the face because he couldn't control it. Like, where are your fucking emotions?
Well, no,
like,
what are
you talking about? Fucking emotionless. You're gonna be a good PA. Hey, I'm dying. Sucks to be you, bro. See you when you're on the other side.
No, what I'm saying is, I wish they had
something more badass.
More badass. Just throwing a punch and then fucks up
the
whole
plot line. He has 2 blasters in his pocket. He has star planet
powers. He's the son of a planet.
You know what I'm saying? You could do some planet laser eyes shit or something.
How cool would it have been if he, like, golden shiny...
You kill my wife, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, but you don't have planet powers.
And that's why you're Star-Lord.
Or blasters.
Well, whatever. Fuck it.
All she's saying. It wanted something. If you're going to have him react emotionally and go out of control, at least make him...
That was a purest human reaction.
Yeah, but
when somebody gets mad or upset, they punch somebody.
Right, no. But... He has more at his disposal to be extra mad with. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, the Hulk or Banner getting mad and not turning into the Hulk. Like, if he's going to get mad and punch somebody, just freak out turn into the Hulk
but
and do a mega punch.
A nice contrast, too, is, I forget the characters' names, but it's in Black Panther when the husband and wife, when they come fight face to face, and he's like, "Would you really like kill me?
Yeah.
And she was like, "For Wakanda, I would."
Yeah,
you know. And it's kind of like, oh, you have these cool badass characters that know to like put the country or even put the universe above their loved ones, and here you are, Star-Lord, fucks everything up.
He's had a fucked up life. And he finally loves
everyone's had a fucked up life, all right? There's no excuse.
No, it is. He all of his emotions came out. And he punched him in the face.
I'm not mad at the punch in the face.
Punched him right in the dick chin.
I thought it was more of a Balchinian chin.
Whatever it is.
I just wish it was cooler. They could have made it cooler.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, either way, the only part that I didn't like was when, in the beginning of the movie, when Thor and Loki are on the ship, and Thanos is, one of his hands, he has the, you know...
The gauntlet on?
No, the telekinesis power. He was like moving metal.
Reality,
and like he tied up Thor in the metal, and then he was like, "Shut up." And he put the metal across Thor's mouth. I was like, "Fuck you, Marvel." He's the god of fucking thunder. Like, this should not be happening right now.
Yeah.
All of this should not be happening. Thor will fuck you up. Yeah. And they just sat there like a fucking diggle douche and and just fucking sat there with the metal over his mouth. Like, come on.
Yeah, I thought that was lame too. I thought that was mega lame because like you see in Ragnarok, it's anybody. I think you see a flash of lightning in his eyes when he attacks Thanos, but I didn't really see him electrocute many people.
No, he has that huge scene in Wakanda. Remember?
Oh, yeah, he comes down and wipes out a bunch of... Yeah, that's
true. But it's true. It's not till later that you don't see that all that come out. And I wonder if it's just, like, emotional shock, if we're going to talk about pure human emotions, you know, of just watching his dad die and just right. had to kill his sister, and now right. this guy comes in too. It's just a lot to take as a person.
Search but. Your feelings. You know it to be true.
It always comes back to Star Wars on this podcast.
So the thing about Thor is he's such an epic character, and I feel like everybody was just down in the whole movie. You know,
I agree.
In the trailer, I saw the Hulk Buster, yep. right? And I'm like, fucking right, that's the most badass goddamn armor there is. So, yeah. And then to come to find out, it was Banner in there.
Right.
So Hulk was messed up, Thor was messed up, Loki's not dead, but he's dead.
Yeah.
Tony Stark gets defeated and stabbed, Spider-Man's fucking...
Dust,
and... Yeah.
Doctor Strange's dust. Yep. Black Panther's dust.
Bucky's dust.
Captain America's mopey big mopington.
As usual.
Black Widow. Mean? He was just mopey.
Yeah, I like Captain America.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Biggest impact on the upcoming films. Mary?
Captain fucking Marvel.
Marvel or Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel or Marvel?
I just want to put it out there that I'm dyslexic.
Oh. Yeah, but you wrote these notes. Yeah.
So wait, so your B's or V's?
You're not, you don't speak Spanish. B's or B.
It's very complicated with our last name, I won't lie.
All right. So,
anyways.
So what do you mean by that?
I'm so excited. I love the last ending clip for all the Marvel films. They showed her little logo in the end credits, which I thought was so cool, so excited. She's probably one of the most powerful characters in the MCU. Just want to emphasize on she is one of the most.
Marcus thought that Captain Marvel is going to be a male, because in the 1960s comics, he is a male, and that's the last time Marcus checked in with Captain Marvel, so he was a little confused. That's why Ares like...
There's no confusion.
Digging him a little bit.
No, there's no confusion at all. He was a dude the last time I read a...
Comic
with Captain Marvel in it.
But now it's 2018, and Captain Marvel is a girl.
Well, that's okay. She can be a girl all she wants. Just in the comics I read, it was a dude.
So...
Anyways, excited for that. Her movie is set in March of 2019. It'll be like her origin story. She's starring Brie Larson, which I'm so excited because the actress is very talented. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of going to explain like why she's been MIA from all the past fights up until now.
Yep.
And then we saw like the ending credit with Nick Fury calling her in.
Yep. The greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
Won't argue with you on that.
Greatest guy with one eye.
Yeah, and then another character I'm super excited to see for is Hawkeye. Didn't really love him in the other Avengers movies, but word on the street is that set photos have been released and that show him in costume similar to a character that he takes on in the comics after Civil War called Ronin. Some theories are that when everyone disappears, Hawkeye's wife and kids do as well, which are kind of the main reason why he kind of got out of the Avengers.
Right.
So if they disappeared in Thanos' big plan, it would be a good... way to bring him back in as this new darker alter ego, Ronin.
That'd be cool. I'd definitely like to see Hawkeye in there. So, Marcus, as far as new or, you know, revisited characters, who do you think will be in the, make a big impact in the next Avengers movie? Or future Marvel cinematic?
I think movies. Nick Fury is going to be, play a big role in the future because he organizes. That's his job.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he doesn't really have any crazy powers or anything like that. He just organizes everybody, and he does a good job of manipulating everybody to get together and fight together.
Yeah, and accomplish a common goal.
Correct. Yep. And then he says, see you later. Go do your thing. When we need you, we'll call you.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, his scene at the end of the movie stated that it's going to be the next... Infinity War 2 or whatever.
Avengers 4.
Avengers 4. They keep saying like it's not going to be Infinity War 2, but they
it has to be.
It's basically it's going to be because Thanos has to be in it at least for the beginning.
I think.
You know what I mean?
I think it might be maybe the ending of it because if you think about it now, we're only left with the main Avengers.
The core Avengers from the first movie. Yeah.
Left with Thor, Tony, or Iron Man.
Yeah.
Black Widow, Captain America, and Hulk.
And then Hawkeye.
And Hawkeye is going to come back in, and then...
But they have to end the Infinity War story. Right. They have to stop Thanos. Definitely. So it has to be an Infinity War 2.
Yeah.
It might not be called Infinity War 2, but it's going to be like the Infinite War or the Final War.
Something like
that.
Well,
it's called Avengers 4. That's what the movie is called.
But... No, that's the name they're going with now.
Yeah,
they're
what I'm saying.
They haven't released the actual title, which the people are speculating, saying like, oh, it's going to say something along the lines of like the resurrecting the Avengers or something like that. Or, you know, something that would be a spoiler for Avengers 3, you know, Infinity War. But, I don't know.
It's going to be Infinity War 2.
Yeah, that's
the rise of the Avengers.
Yeah. Out of the ashes. Like the Phoenix. Anyways, so, Eri has a pretty interesting idea. And do you think Thanos was really wrong? I think, before Eri gets into it, I know Marcus kind of agrees with me. Well, yeah, you know, killing half of humanity is wrong. And I'd rather see some kind of, you know, environmental technology that makes the planet able to accommodate the greater population or the universe in Thanos' case. But Eri has some other ideas.
Wait a minute. It's not just that simple. He has a good point. People are starving, so kill off half the population, and guess what?
Now there's
plenty of resources.
He saved humanity.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to go into it.
I know, but I'm just putting it on there.
Yeah.
Right there.
I would like to start off by saying, I do not condone any violence or murdering.
Just... We know that. That's okay. Keep going.
Anyway.
Yes, you do. If you play Skyrim and you're a level 35 Diggledorf elf or something like that, you kill everything in your path.
Yeah, to level up.
That's very true. I won't admit that you're wrong. But anyways, sit down, kids. Time for a lesson in sociology and economics. Matt Pett does a fantastic video on this topic over on his YouTube channel, Film Theory, and I'm going to butcher this because I'm a STEM major, but I thought it was too interesting not to talk about. So, in human society, our growth in population doesn't increase by an exponential rate, meaning it doesn't rapidly increase over time, kind of like how we used to think it did, but now we realize that it doesn't. Our growth in population grows at a rapid rate and starts to level when it gets close to our carrying capacity, the thing that Thanos talks about when discussing his own planet and how they ran out of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that graph, the name of it is called...
Oh, the graph has a sigmoidal shape. Think of it as like an S. So it starts off with a shallow increase, then an exponential increase really fast, and then it tapers off again.
And we've lost all of our viewers.
Marcus has his head down in shame.
Anyways, we see the trend...
I'm kidding.
We're almost done here.
We see this trend.
I want you to talk about this. I just was playing
it's
around.
It's exciting. All
well,
right.
I love hearing about this stuff because this is way above my pay grade.
Anyways, we see this trend in our lives back in the day when it was more beneficial for people with large families, more people to work for you and more chances of some of your offspring to make it in the long run to care for you when you're old. So basically, like, more kids you have, the more people you have to work for you on the farm.
Right.
But nowadays, it's economically, people can't afford big families anymore. And with the modern medicine, most people live past childhood, so you can get away with having one or two kids that are you know are going to live to be an adult and take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
The human race's estimated carrying capacity is about 11 billion, but scientists are seeing the population to start to level out now at around 7 to 8 billion. Like we said before, with our lives, you just really can't afford to have big families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the growth of our population grew exponentially and Thanos continued with his plan to wipe out half of our race, the population would still continue to grow rapidly and at a certain point would reach back up to that carrying capacity again. So it would just kind of knock it down a little bit and just kind of delay us getting to the our carrying capacity. But because we are at that sigmoidal, our growth is the sigmoidal shape,
mm-hmm.
If we knock down if he gets rid of half of us, that level will decrease by half. I was going to say, because the population is leveled out, on the path to leveling out, it would decrease the leveling point by half, and thus, by eliminating half the population just one time, theoretically, the population would stay at the lower level and never reach the carrying capacity. Now, this sounds really hypothetical, but we've actually had a similar situation happen in human history. During the Black Plague in the 1300s, a third of European population was wiped out by this disease, by the Black Plague that was carried over by the mice. Because the population increased by such a dramatic amount, farmers didn't need to farm as much because there were less mouths to feed, so the land became land for cattle, meaning that prices of meat went down, prices of houses went down because there were just not enough people to fill them, and therefore the overall economy just went up, people got paid more, and really for the people who were able to survive the Black Plague, their lives kind of got better. Ish. So I kind of see where Thanos is coming from.
I just, all I heard out of all that was steak prices are going down. I think these guys that control that market, you know, that sell meat, they need to get their shit together and lower the prices and,
yeah,
you know, get us better prices on chicken and beef and
seafood. You
know, seafood and
those directors of grocery store.
Norm.
anyways, back at the ranch. So, what do you guys think is going to happen after this with the MCU? So, in other words, how will they bring back all the dead characters?
Well, I think Captain Marvel's going to do a loop-de-loop and pull, steal the glove, and fix everything, because she's a female.
So, anyway, Marcus, what do you think?
All right. They go back in time.
Yep.
Bam. Everybody's alive. End credits. See ya.
That's it. They just go back in time and ignore the future timeline?
Yeah. Because that's what they did to Vision, right? So Thanos, like, she...
Oh, right.
Vision's girl.
I hated that part, too.
No yeah. way! Like, Vision's Scarlet girl, Witch. Like... Yeah, she, like, straight up killed him. And she's like, I'm doing this for the greater good. And he's dead. And then Thanos is like, fuck you, I got the time stone. I'm gonna bring his whoop back. Thanks for the stone. Deuces.
Yeah, that's true.
And then as soon as that happened, he disappeared. And yep. Everybody started dying.
I just wish it wasn't such a huge plot point of trying to get the stone out of Vision's head. And then it was just so easy just for Thanos just to be like,
zoop, bloop. Yeah, undid kidding. It all. Yeah.
But the... It was a big point because it's in the dude's head and he's a person.
No, it was. They made it a big point.
Well, she's saying she wishes it wasn't, but that's such an important part.
Human emotions.
Right.
Like, no, human emotions. You're misunderstanding. Seeing somebody die. No, I didn't.
Yeah, she was saying they may put so much effort into the human emotions that it is such a big deal, and to see it, they got it so that they had to kill him, Scarlet Witch had to kill him, they kept it out of the clutches of Thanos, and to see Thanos so easily and quickly undo that, all that work and all that emotional payoff, was that's what Aerie didn't like.
Yeah, I was kind of like, all right, are you kidding me? Like,
oh, I misunderstood.
After all of that.
Right. Wah, wah. So... I was thinking, you know, as far as what's going to happen next, clearly the remaining Avengers are going to have to somehow get the gauntlet off of Thanos. Although, from one of the last shots we see of the gauntlet after Thanos' snap, it looks pretty burnt up and chewed up. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it might be broken. There's always the tried and true method of some sort of time travel, where they go back and kind of prevent Thanos from doing his snap in the first place. However... you know, I was thinking this might create an alternate timeline, kind of like in, you know, Flashpoint in The Flash, or like when Trunks in Dragon Ball Z time travels, there's an alternate timeline now. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about there, but Thanos used the time stone to go back in time with Vision there, and that didn't create an alternate timeline, at least that we know about. So I'm not sure how Marvel's going to handle any kind of time travel, but I think anything they do going forward to correct this is going to have to involve time travel in some way, shape, or form. Any other general thoughts before we wrap it up?
I'm very excited for Adam Warlock.
Oh, you sure he's going to be in it?
Yeah, well, because at the end credits of the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie, you see the chamber, because Adam Warlock doesn't really die. He's kind of like it's almost like a Doctor Who in a sense.
Yeah.
So he goes back into this chamber, kind of reheals himself and comes back out. And the
like
ending,
Luke, sort of, kind of, one of those types of chambers? Back to the Tank, is that what you call it?
Yep.
I got a little Star Wars street cred there.
Sure.
Not a lot, but a little.
But he goes into the chamber, kind of reveals himself, comes back, is better than ever. You see that at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, you see him in the tank, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because in the comics I know he's partnered with Thanos, fought against Thanos, uses the gauntlet and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting what they see with him. I know he's not supposed to be in Avengers 4, but... he's definitely gearing up maybe to be in the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
That'd be cool. I'm a couple things. I'm interested to see if Groot's going to come back from the handle of Thor's new hammer. That could be cool, because I know he can come back as long as there's like a twig of him still around. Although he'll be Kid Groot again, or Baby Groot. So that'll be interesting if he does come back from the handle of Thor's hammer. And also, I was just going to comment, there wasn't really a good spot to fit this in with our previous questions, but I wasn't a big fan of Peter Dinklage's character. I love Peter Dinklage as an actor, but I thought it was just like him doing a Tyrion accent, but like not smart like Tyrion. It was like a dumb, big, goofy Tyrion Lannister. Is it if he had like 50 less IQ points or something?
Who's that?
That's the dwarf guy in the dwarf star planet. The guy that forged the hammer and stuff.
Sure.
All the weapons.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage is the character that played him. He's also in Game of Thrones.
What's Game of Thrones?
It's a TV show on HBO.
And I'd like to say this is the time where I leave.
What do you mean? I'm not into it.
That's all good. All right. So anything else, you guys?
Dig a douche.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.